Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast, where we explore the intersection of creativity and student learning. I'm your host, John Spencer, a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I'm on this, I guess, kind of a quest to see students embrace a maker mindset and discover their own creative voice. And I want to see schools become bastions of creativity and wonder. And so here on this podcast is where I share what I'm learning along the way on this journey. Today, we're going to be looking at something that at first glance doesn't seem to be about the topic of creativity, but I would argue it actually has everything to do with creativity. And here's what I mean. When you first hear about technology, creativity, and the future of learning, we often imagine STEM or STEAM, or if you take the S out completely and rearrange the letters, it becomes meat, which a meat lab would be awesome. And you might imagine things like robotics or coding, but I'd argue that one of the most relevant subjects for the future of our democracy and for developing a maker mindset and for growing in critical thinking is actually journalism. And so we're going to get into why that's the case. If you looked at my teaching contracts, it would appear that I taught journalism, and it would probably actually say photojournalism for 3 of my 12 teaching years. But that's not entirely accurate. While I also taught self-contained and social studies and a number of subjects, I always taught journalism. Always. See, it started in my first year of teaching when we were assigned these intervention periods. Nobody else on my team wanted to teach writing intervention and grade a bunch of, well, to be honest, really bad writing. And I thought that was some kind of a mistake when people wrote that down as their least favorite choice, because to me, writing is like the greatest subject to teach. I loved this idea of helping kids develop their actual, you know, creative voice. And so I took it. I ran with this subject. And I began with the question of, how do you feel about writing? My students described the boredom, the anger, and the frustration of writing. They hated things like writing prompts, and they wanted the freedom to choose their own topics. They hated the formulaic nature of editing. They hated all of it. But they didn't really hate writing. What they hated was, to be honest, writing in school. And they didn't really know anything else, anything different. So I pitched an idea. We are going to run an online magazine, I told them. We can do videos and podcasts. We can write articles. We can choose the topics. You are going to own this project. It took a little bit of time for them to get into it. They weren't sold at first. But a couple weeks later, after we had our first so-called issue out, they were proud of it. They were excited about it. And for the rest of the year, this writing intervention class morphed into a journalism class. They called our blog Social Voice, and two of the students sketched out this logo that has, well, kind of almost a graffiti style when I look back at it. And this quickly spilled over into my regular social studies class, where students began filming documentaries, recording podcasts, doing things like that. We used design thinking as a way to start with empathy toward an audience and eventually to design these media package that we would specifically launch to a designated narrow, I guess, kind of a niche of an audience. And that's how it worked. And I bring this up because I think it illustrates the value of journalism. When I talk to people about the future of learning, they often mention technology and engineering, things like Sphero balls or Arduino sets or coding projects. And while I love the emphasis on STEM, I can't help but wonder if maybe we miss out on the power of journalism because it's not shiny or new. And we forget that it's actually a really, really powerful subject. If you ask people what type of technology skills that students will need in the future, you'll hear things like digital citizenship, media literacy, creative thinking. Unfortunately, schools tend to teach these topics in isolation, as if they exist in these separate little buckets that are never connected to each other. So you have lessons on digital citizenship and, you know, avoiding cyberbullying, and then you have topics about media literacy and how to do research, but they're never connected to each other at all. But those separate buckets are basically dumped all together and mixed up into something called journalism. It treats them all as interconnected. Maybe buckets is the wrong illustration to have. Maybe it's more like three distinct circles. But instead of being separate circles, digital journalism is more like a Venn diagram where all three circles overlap and integrate. And I think integration is the right word for that. Journalism, and digital journalism in particular, integrates digital citizenship, media literacy, and creative thinking in this way that is connective and authentic. Instead of teaching, you know, many lessons on these topics, students discover these ideas as they engage in inquiry and research and content creation and publishing. And here's what I mean. We're going to approach each one of those topics, and I'm going to share how it happens in journalism. So let's start with digital citizenship. Schools often approach digital citizenship with this kind of fear-based deficit mindset. There is an implied message of, you better not screw this thing up, kids. So you get lessons on like the dangers of digital footprints, or the importance of being nice and the need to follow rules and the whole don't bully people message. And all of those are fine, but is that really the extent of citizenship? Don't we want our students to go beyond simply being nice? Don't we want our students to grow into critical thinking citizens who, I don't know, change the world? Don't we want them to learn what it means to engage in hard conversations while still being kind and empathetic? Don't we want them to advocate for things that they care about? Those are the ideas at the forefront of journalism, and digital journalism in particular. It's the belief that students should engage with the world in meaningful ways. Sometimes it means maybe sharing their passions and interests with the world, and it doesn't look like journalism in the traditional sense in that moment. It might look like a YouTube channel or a blog, but other times it means advocating for issues that they care about. But the common idea is the notion of being kind of a documentarian of your world, while also being someone who thinks critically about what's going on all around you. In other words, it's a very, very old idea of being a citizen journalist. And I would argue that that is what we do all the time. That's what we do when we hop onto Facebook. That's what we do when we're on Twitter. But it's not a mindset that enough people have. In fact, I'd argue that it's missing from our culture. For all the talk of a digital divide, I think there is a chasm of empathy. And I find it to be tragic that our commons, these spaces that we inhabit all together, can often be so harsh and divisive and shallow and mean at the same time. So the second area is, like I mentioned, media literacy. With digital tools, it's easier than ever to create, edit, and publish your work to the world. But there's a cost. It's also easier than ever to spread misinformation. And fake news has become a real issue in recent times. We see this with students. According to a Stanford study, only 25% of high school students were able to accurately identify the correct news story when given a fake one. Students also had a hard time distinguishing between real and fake photographs, as well as authentic and staged videos. And this was, by the way, not even connected to politics. All of their examples they gave were connected to something different. Things in science, or things in math, or things in sports. Now, the researchers from this study use the words bleak and dismaying to describe it. But it's not going away anytime soon, and that's a very real problem. Now, a few months ago, I shared a video describing the process I use. I call it the 5 C's of critical consuming, and you can find it on this blog post. Again, if you go to the creativeclassroompodcast.com, you can find this episode will be the latest one mentioned. And you can also find it at spencerauthor.com. So either one of them. And in this post, you'll find the that particular video, which is called The Problem with Fake News and How Students Can Fix It. But anyway, the idea is that students don't naturally know how to think critically about information. And that's part of why I love journalism. See, journalism takes media literacy a step further than just critical consuming. Yes, students learn how to read critically, but they also learn how to identify credible sources as they create their own content. Instead of stopping at critical reading, students learn how to construct critically. They internalize the mindset of critical reading as they create content that is trustworthy. It's basically the idea that the best way to learn about how to deconstruct an article is to also learn how to construct an article. That there's this dance at play between construction and deconstruction that's really valuable for students to understand. That the more they actually play around with information and make their own content, the better they are at identifying when something is good or bad or authentic or fake. The last one is creativity, creative processes, basically the maker mindset. Now, I'm obviously passionate about seeing students develop a maker mindset, but too often, I think the word maker is only associated with engineering. You know, maker spaces full of robots, people solving complex problems in collaborative groups, students prototyping with 3D printers. And those are the things that capture people's attention. But there is another side of the maker mindset that is rooted deeply in a human context. It's what happens when students engage in inquiry and problem solving by looking at things from multiple perspectives. It's what happens when students become master curators. It's what happens when students think critically about information from multiple sources and then take things a step further by thinking critically about the medium itself. It's what happens when they learn what it means to send their work to an authentic audience. Now, that is a lot of stuff to happen, but that's part of what it means to be a maker. And these creative elements are central to digital journalism. As students move from inquiry through research into iterative thinking and eventually into the creation and launch of multimedia content, they are engaged in things like curation and problem solving, seeing things from multiple perspectives, being critical about the medium itself, and understanding the difference between, say, creating audio or video or anything else. And it's what happens when they send their work to an authentic audience, and when they truly grow empathetic with the audience and they care about them. Now, these creative elements are central to digital journalism. As students move from asking tons of questions and engaging in research into this iterative thinking and eventually into the creation and launch of multimedia content. Now, when students own this entire publishing process, they think creatively. They develop that maker mindset. They find their creative voice. And isn't that exactly what we want for students? Now, you might be wondering, isn't journalism a dying industry? Whenever I mention the value of journalism, people are quick to point out that traditional journalism is exactly that. It's a dying industry. Their jobs are going away. Why prepare students for these jobs that will no longer exist? And they have a point. Critics who think that journalism is disappearing might be right. It can sound crazy to open an elementary or middle school journalism program when local newspapers are going out of business. But I'd argue that the industry isn't dying. It's just evolving. Look at the sheer number of professional bloggers, podcasters, and YouTubers. It is a massive industry. True, many of them aren't journalists in the traditional sense. And many of them don't go about having journalistic integrity in what they do. Some of them spread misinformation. Often they're just plain bad. But doesn't that actually speak to the necessity of learning how to think like a journalist? Whether you're a foodie blogger or doing a political podcast, there is value in learning how to investigate and research and think critically and communicate clearly. And if you're a consumer of the media, and we all are, isn't it also important to understand how journalism actually works? But I wonder if the isn't the industry dying question misses the point. After all, we still teach PE despite the fact that most kids won't become professional athletes. We teach music even though cities are cutting symphony and opera programs. We teach math even though very few students will grow up to be practicing professional mathematicians. We have chess clubs and competitions despite the fact that few of the students will become kings or queens ordering medieval knights to attack unsuspecting villagers. Now, we do these things because they help students learn how to think differently. And I believe that the best way to teach students and to prepare them for the future is by empowering them in the present. And journalism asks students to make sense out of their world as critical thinking citizens and then communicate those ideas to an authentic audience. Isn't that right there what we want for kids? Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you like this podcast at all, would you leave a review on iTunes? We're up to 8 reviews, which I think is awesome. But that helps people find this content. Again, if you can go to iTunes and leave a review, that would mean the world to me. And tell people about it. Tell people, hey, check out creativeclassroompodcast.com and let people know about this show. So thanks a lot and have a wonderful day.